Good morning to you. Good to see you out this morning. And we'll take our songbooks to 181 as we begin our song service. 181, we'll be doing a patriotic theme this morning. And trust you'll enjoy the service as well. 181, please. Find that. We'll stand together and sing Onward Christian Soldiers, 181.
Morning. We hope all of you have air conditioning and staying cool, 100 plus degrees. Some places are registering as much as 110. And my house, my wife put one of these thermometers, not a real expensive thing somebody gave us. This digital readout, you know, has a lead you stick outside the window, you know, and close the window on it, and it it said it was 106 on the outside, and it measures the temperature on the inside too. And that particular room is the coolest room in our house. It was 69 degrees. And but that power meter is going to do that, you know. So and by the way, especially for any of our retired folks, there's a scam going around that people are calling houses and telling them that the president has instituted a program to pay your power bill. And that's a scam. They get your personal information, give you a phony bank account number that supposedly will pay your bill. And you give them your personal information, your Social Security number, and all that sort of. Don't give your Social Security number to anybody over the telephone. And unless it's like a credit card company you called, that you got to verify who you are. But anybody calls you and you don't know who they are, don't give out that kind of personal information. There's no such thing. It's a scam going around. Steal people's identities. Mr. Chris Detweiler is here with his family, big family, from Florida, and they're looking to move to the area. They're fence contractor, putting up fence, and they're looking to move here. and work in that industry and find a place. Chris, you want to introduce the grown ones with different names or whatever? I got you. Well, glad to have all of you here. Welcome. And they're from Orlando area. I said, boy, they're going to move away from Disney World to come up here, you know. So you pray for them. If you got some information to help them with a place to live, they're looking all around York County, especially it's probably as close to the interstate as they can get around Rock Hill or something, and got to have a big place. And I understand we have Lance and Sarah, is it Sweeley, visiting with us this first time? Glad to have you here today. Thank you. Welcome. And all of you folks, be sure and greet them. Has anybody else got a guest with you that we didn't recognize, a visitor with you?
My mom's.
Yeah, your mom's here. She's going home tomorrow.
My church
today. Ah, right. We like that. And you're in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, sir.
And you're going home tomorrow. That's not, what is it, a five-hour drive?
Six
hours.
Well,
that's a smart move. That's a smart move. That's a lady thing. If it was a man thing, it would be how fast can you get there this time without stopping for the bathroom or gas or it, is that your thing? I made it 6 minutes quicker this time, you know. I beat you, you know. That's a man thing. We used to drive back and forth to Springfield, Missouri, 850-something miles, you know, without stop for gas one time, and you had to go to the bathroom, and if you wanted something to eat, you better get it right then, because we were going to make tracks, you know. And that'll put years on your life if you aren't careful, or take them off. We've got a lot of upcoming things. Most of our regular folks know about these. We've got teen camp is not tomorrow, but a week away from tomorrow, teen camp. And they'll be there. Are they coming home on Saturday or on Friday?
Friday. They let out about 2 o'clock on Friday now.
Okay. So you will be home on Friday night. I thought that was what you had on the calendar. July 15th, we have Brother Connor up, missionary Kenya, Africa, will be here with us in the service to report on the work he's been doing for 30-something years. And they have great works in Kenya, Bible college, multiple churches with pastors, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. We got a letter from email this morning from a missionary in Taiwan, Brother Green. They had the anniversary service for one of the churches, and they had 17 people saved at the anniversary service. And praise the Lord for that. I think he had 23 first-time visitors. Golf tournament for you guys is July 19th. Is that right? You guys that get the letters from the golf tournament, is that the right date?
That's right, and there's a sign-up sheet out in the back. So we need you to go ahead and put your name on there if you want to play so we can turn that in. And then, Pastor, if you're a church member, is the church still going to do like they've done in the past?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can see me about the call. Me or Joey.
Okay, and that's the 19th. Saturday the 21st, there's a bus trip to McLeod Farms for peaches. Probably a sign-up sheet for that, too. So take note of the sign-up sheets. Be sure you get on the right one. You don't want to sign up for these guys thinking you're going to play golf if you're going to the farm trip, you know. And then junior camp at the end of the month. Always a lot going on. And we welcome back the group from the trip. Everybody stand that went to Ecuador. Amen. Let's give them a hand. They came home safe and sound. How many of you want to go back again? All right. Boy, they enjoyed it then. And I understand they got a lot to tell us, and we'll do that tonight in the service tonight. We'll hear from Bob and Jerry. And I believe y'all got some slides you're going to show for us and show everybody exactly what went on, so that'd be wonderful. Look forward to hearing that. Let's pray together. After the choir comes down, we have a handshake, and ushers, y'all be ready. As soon as that's over, we're going to pass out lapel pins, okay? Everybody gets a flag lapel pin. And Unlike some people, we do still put our hand over our heart and pledge allegiance to the flag. And we'll do that in just a little bit and have one of our men that serves in the military lead us in the pledges today. And then I'll be bringing the message in a few moments. Let's give the Lord our thanks, ask His blessings on the service. Pete Morrison, lead us in prayer, please, sir. believe that, don't you? Time to pray and bring America back to God. Let's stand and greet each other, say hello, give somebody a handshake, a smile. Be seated just a moment so I can give out these lapel pins. Yes, sir, Ron. Raise your hand if you didn't get a lapel pin already. Somebody snuck into them early, huh? Most of you already got one. Purchased these from a little award company thing, you know, to just as a reminder. And we opened, every one of them was in a little individual plastic container, and we opened them all this morning So you didn't have to open those because we knew you'd stick those little plastic bags in the communion holders there. Or the hymn book holder. And because it was printed on those little bags, made in China. I thought, man, how bad is that to get your American flag out of an envelope that says made in China? So we didn't have any choice in that factor. So if it breaks, you'll kind of know what the problem is, you know. We should have a few extras, too, if it does. All right, everybody's got them? Brother Bob, come on, lead us in a song. You can let them be seated for this song if you want to.
Okay. Bob?
That's right.
I'm not sure. You were probably thinking about the service tonight with Bob Reed. 183, please. 183.
Maybe I was looking at Bob.
We'll remain seated and sing Faith of Our Fathers, all three verses, 183. And ushers, you be ready for the offering immediately following. 183, remain seated. We'll sing all three verses.
Faith of Our Fathers, living still, in spite of touch and fire and sword. Oh, how our hearts revive in joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of Our Fathers, holy faith, we will be true to Thee till death. Our Fathers chained in prison's door were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they might then die for Thee. They have our Father's holy faith. We will be true to
Jeff. Scott Clark gets to brunt of that every once in a while, too. He has a brother named Jeff, and every once in a while I call Scott Jeff, and I know better, but it just comes out for some reason. My age, I guess, or maybe it's that half-inch kidney stone bothering me. Some news on the Horizon. Miss Jean has family in Colorado, and they're safe. No damage to their homes. The mass. Have you heard from your friends out there anymore? Did they escape? They had been within the fire. Had been within 5 miles of their home, and we hope they got a handle on that now. Brother Scott tells me that BBN's having some trouble with the heat on some of their stations. That it's affecting them, that immense heat. Many of those buildings are just block buildings, you know, with the electrical equipment in there, and they usually have to have air conditioning on the equipment anyway to keep the equipment because it produces heat, and this additional heat's causing a problem with some of those stations. So I hope all of you are safe and sound. Let us know if we can help you in some way. Okay, for the offertory, we're going to do the military hymns. The first will be the Army, so when you hear your branch of the military you served in, stand. We'll have Army, Navy, Coast Guard, Marines, Air Force, and then God Bless America. And so as you get to your branch, you stand and give us your oorah or whatever you have for, you know, your branch, anchors away or whatever it is, you know. and let us know you served, and we thank you for your service. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. Tyler, bless the offering for us, please. Amen. Thank you. Army. Stand if you serve in the Army.
Serves in the Air Guard will lead us in those. All right, we're going to start with the pledge to the American flag.
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now the pledge to the Christian flag.
I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming in with life and liberty to all who believe.
And the pledge to the Bible.
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its word in my heart that I might not sin against God.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right. We got a men's group is going to come and do our special song this morning. Again, welcome to everybody. Come be with us tonight at 6 and hear from Jerry and Bob and the team that went to Ecuador. All right. Thank you. Thank y'all very much. Sounding good, looking good. I think all these fellas but one's married, ladies. Two of them, single guys. Yeah, two of them. Eligible bachelors. Psalm 9 in your Bibles today, please. The 9th Psalm. The Supreme Court just upheld the law that you can be taxed if you do not have health insurance. And many of you are in retirement years and on Medicare, so it doesn't affect you, except that your Medicare is going up each year for the next several years. And nothing you can do about that but pay it, because they take it out of your check. But those of you who do not have health insurance will be fined 1% per year of your annual income. So if you make $50,000, you'll pay a $500 fine. Now, there's many companies that are going to pay the fine and not provide health insurance for their employees, because it's a lot cheaper for them to pay the fine than it is to provide health insurance. And those of you who are like me, who are self-employed and do not have a company to furnish you insurance, there are some alternatives with Christian Share programs. The government has said up to this point that it will recognize them as if you have insurance and you won't be penalized. There's about three of those organizations. One of them is under Good Samaritan. One is under, where's Brother Jerry? What's the one you have?
Metashare.
Metashare is what it's called. And we have one, Joy and I, that's called Christian Newsletter. It used to be called Brotherhood, but they had a conflict with another company by that name. And what I pay is $150 a month for Joy and $150 a month for myself. And then they will reimburse us after we pay our doctor bills and hospital bills up to a restricted level, depending on if you pay additional or not. If I don't pay anything additional other than $150 a month, then I'm covered for up to $125,000. When Joy and I both had health issues recently in emergency rooms, it was over $7,000 for the bill for her and myself that we sent in, and we got back $5,500. So there is a $500 deductible on each person and things like that. There is, that is an alternative for some of you who don't have health care and who need it and who will be fined otherwise at some point. Now, the Congress could change this, and we're in an election year, so when a new president, if a new president is elected and Congress changes with the amount of Democrats and Republicans, the law could change. But that's what's in for now. And as you know, most of the time when laws go in, they never change. They may get added to, but they don't get repealed. And that's a very, very seldom happen. You can ask more information. Jerry can share with you about the one he has. I can share with you about the one I have. I think Pete has the one I do for Patsy. But he is on Medicare himself. And so if you're interested, we'll let you know. To be on the plan that I'm on, you have to be a church member, you have to be faithful in church, you cannot drink alcohol, and you cannot smoke cigarettes.
Amen.
And those are things that you have to meet in order to obtain their coverage. And you have to do a, probably have to do a screening. But that's there. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. In this patriotic Sunday, the Lord's Day, and the closest to our 4th of July, we make our pledges, we sing our hymns and our anthems, and we acknowledge the Lord in all of these. America is but a dot on a map among many nations in the world and many countries. But there is something different about this nation than any other place. This past Wednesday, news headlines were that a ship that left India and went to Egypt and then to the United States had stowaways inside cargo containers. People trying, desperately risking their lives to get in to the United States of America. This is one of the few countries where that takes place on a regular basis. People by the thousands every year attempt by small boats, by stowing away, by every ill-prepared thing that they can find, to get in to the United States of America. Hispanic people have crossed into the United States by the millions. Some come here temporarily to work and go back home, and some come here to stay, to try to take up the life that we live in the United States of America. Some of them become United States citizens, and some want to, but they just don't know how to and go through the process. Into the millions of people now living in the United States from Latin American countries. America is where much of the world desires to come, and they often risk great efforts, even their lives, to get here.
Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. For every blessing of this nation, let us praise God and be glad. Let us recognize that it's from God that we have the blessings on the United States of America. Let us be a people that rejoice. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And every good gift comes from Him. Everything that's good about us, everything that's good about America, everything that's good about you and me is by the grace of God. Everything that's bad about us is because of sin and the fact that sin has entered into man. A songwriter wrote the hymn that we often sing, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God hath done. Stop for a moment on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, and think about being thankful and rejoicing and giving praise to God as a nation for every blessing that we enjoy. Now, we spend a lot of time complaining. I put me at the head of the list. As I prepared this message this week, I said, you know what? Instead of telling everybody what's wrong with America this Sunday, I think I'll tell them what's right about America this Sunday. We spend a lot of time complaining. It's weather's too hot, or it's too cold, or it's too dry, or it's too wet. And some Baptists complain that way about the church auditorium. It's too cold, or it's too hot, or the pew's too hard, or it's too soft, you know, all that sort of thing. We complain about the traffic. We complain about our politicians. I don't know what some of us would do if we didn't have politics to complain about. I mean, we spend a lot of time complaining about it, kicking about it. We're sideline coaches, you know. We sit up here and watch the game down there, and we tell the coach everything he's doing wrong and everything we would do if we were there. And we're sideline coaches. We complain about our leaders. Let's take one day a week, the Lord's Day, and not complain about anything. Because I can promise you, if you'll remember back the serpents in the wilderness with the nation of Israel, God does not like His people to murmur and complain. Because we ought to recognize every good gift we have is from Him, and He deserves praise, honor, and glory for every blessing that we enjoy. Let's have one day a week where we do like old Dr. John Rollins said about his sister. He said his sister was the kind of woman, she would not say anything bad about anybody. He said if you said something about the devil, she'd say, yeah, but he's a hard worker, you know. And, you know, let's take one day a week where we stop complaining and stop kicking about what we don't have and what somebody else has got and somebody we don't like, and let's just stop and praise God and turn everything around. It's hot outside, but praise God we got air conditioning in here, and it's nice in here. Praise God for every good thing we have instead of complaining this day on what we don't have. Now understand something, I'm not turning liberal. I'm still just as much against sin as I've ever been. We've got to be for what's right, and we've got to be against what's wrong. But there is a balance there. We don't have to spend all our time complaining about what's wrong. We can spend some time praising God for what's right. And there's some things that are right about America. I've read that a Persian poet from the 1600s who wrote something that was translated the Rose Garden made the statement that I complained I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. You see, we can always find something to praise God. No matter how bad things are, no matter how hard things are, no matter how difficult things are, we can always find a way to praise the Lord. First of all, it certainly could have been worse. And we can praise God that it's not. And certainly we can find things that are good that we can praise God about. Focus today on what's right about America, the freedoms, the liberties, the opportunity of this country. The opportunities are still here in this country. You ask all the Patels from India who've come over here and opened up motels. Do you know we had motels before the Patels came and they own the majority of them now? There's some opportunity in America in the motel business. You ask all the Korean people that own all the laundries in York County. I mean, they came here, they didn't have much, they worked, they saved their money, they bought into the laundry businesses, and now you can't hardly find one that a Korean family doesn't own. You find a Chinese restaurant, You'll find some little old Vietnamese people. I was over there. Those people didn't have anything. They lived in grass huts and ate out of a community pot with some rice and a couple of fish heads thrown in it. And they came to America and they worked hard and they saved their money and they opened up a buffet restaurant. They figured out Americans like buffets. And so they got in the buffet business and they've made something out of themselves. They've saved their money. They've worked hard. They own a business. Italian people have done that. Greek people have done that. There's so many areas of our country that you can clearly see. People came here that weren't from America. They worked hard. They saved their money. They got into business. And now they do have something. You see, there's still a lot of opportunities in America. Instead of kicking and complaining, I know many of you got laid off in the last 4 years. And some of you lost your trade. Some of you lost your business. Some of you lost your what you could do for a living, and you got to make a change. But that obstacle can become an opportunity. It can become something where you get into something new. You get into something different. You get into something better. And it may provide many new opportunities for you to be a witness for Christ to the people you come in contact with. The founders of this republic and who wrote the Constitution and the laws of our land clearly drew from their knowledge of the Scriptures and from their respect and faith in God. And this nation has always had Christian treatment of people, righteousness as its goal. And when you treat people right, you reap what you sow. Righteousness exalteth a nation, Proverbs 14:34 says, but sin is a reproach to any people. When we read every state constitution, the organization of each state, every one of them has a preamble in it where they give praise to God and thanks to the Lord for the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy in this nation. On our money, it says, "In God we trust." On our pledge to allegiance, we are one nation under God. In oaths, when they're sworn into office, they place their hand upon the Bible. And when they stand in court, it is, "So help me God, I will tell the truth and nothing but the truth." There's some things about America that are good and right and wonderful and better than other places. I look forward tonight hearing from these young people. And one of the things I wanted them to experience, they experienced in Quito. They saw what the third world is like. They saw what poverty is like. They saw what they enjoy in this country in their blessings and privilege that other folks don't have in other places. When Joy and I went to the Ukraine, we couldn't just travel anywhere we wanted to. We had to go with a passport through a military checkpoint just to get into the country. And the missionaries had failed to give us their actual address because they were picking us up at the airport. And the soldier told my wife, "Where are you going?" And she said, "Simferopol." He said, "Yeah, but what's the address?" She said, "I don't know." "You wait right here. You can't go. You can't get into the country. We've got to have the address. Where are you going to be?" And so the line started backing up. So this lady who had some bars on her shoulder that was higher ranked than he was, she came over there, and boy, she sounded like a bulldog, you know. She said, "Where are you going?" And Joel, we said Simferopol, and said, "Missionaries are picking us up. They'll be outside in a few minutes. You can go ask them, you know, but we don't have the address." And she looks at him, she looks at line, she said, "Simferopol." He stamped Simferopol on the passport, "Let's go through." But you couldn't just get in the car and drive to another country. You couldn't just get in the car and go anywhere you want to go. You had to have permission. You had different money. You had all kinds of restrictions that you had to go through to get from one place to another. We had to spend a night in Turkey. We had to get visas to get out of the airport to go to a motel and to spend the night. You don't have to do that in the United States of America. We have freedoms and liberty. We can travel. We've got money. We've got churches on every corner here in the South in the Bible Belt area. And churches abound in every state in the United States of America. Most of the world's missionary dollars still come from the United States of America. The generosity of our people is overwhelming. The spread of the gospel message, the feeding of the hungry, the hospitals, Levine family who owns Family Dollar. I noticed their stock's up about 12%. They have donated millions upon millions to children's hospitals. Charlotte has a wing, I mean a big wing, That's the Levine Children's Hospital that they donated the money. Columbia has the same thing. This family has money. They're generous. They're giving their money away. Keep shopping at Family Dollar. You know, they might keep helping children in hospitals, okay? The care of the sick and the elderly and nursing homes and all these things are blessings that we enjoy that they don't have just anywhere in the world. And yet, what do? Complain about them, kick about them, see what's wrong with them, find fault with them. I'm not saying to overlook mistreatment. I'm certainly not saying to overlook sin. But I'm saying one day a week on the Lord's Day, let's stop and praise God. Let's give thanks for what we have. And let's see some good things about America. A free public education for all of our children. That doesn't happen just anywhere. Freedom to learn a trade or go to college or get a job, have a home, travel state to state. We don't have any problem with food. We even have food stamps. And I'll guarantee the majority of people that get them, I'm saying the majority, not all, the majority of people get food stamps is so they can use their money for other things because they qualify, some by deceit and some by truth. Most people that go through that, it's temporary. It's something that has happened in their family for a short time, and then they can get back on their feet because there's opportunities here. We have, as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 16, a goodly heritage that's been handed down to us. We need to praise God if we're saved. Praise God we have a home in heaven. Praise God for your health if you got it. And praise God for all the blessings that you have. Because every good gift is from the Lord. Secondly, verse 3 through 6 in Psalm 9. It says, when mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou statest in thy throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Verse 3 through 6 here, we find God has protected and preserved us as a nation. America has a heritage of blessing. We have blessed Israel, and I believe God has blessed us because of that. We have blessed many nations with protecting them. We've stepped forth with our lives and our blood and our finances to defend other nations against tyranny in the same way this nation was established. Europe owes itself to the United States of America getting into World War II and what we provided there, defending them. France in that day remembered it and gave us the Statue of Liberty. Today, France has forgotten. They're not speaking German because of the United States of America entering World War II. Korea, the North against the South. Vietnam, the North against the South. Kuwait was overtaken by Saddam Hussein and got on the telephone and called the United States of America and begged for help. And we went over and delivered them from their tyranny. Afghanistan, most recently, Kosovo and Herzegovina and those places, small battles, Panama, skirmishes that have taken place. In every one of these, there is a greater good and a right and wrong in what takes place. I say to you that if America stands with God, it can't be defeated. That God will preserve us in the same way He could preserve Israel. But if we stand in pride and sinful motives, and we cross the line away from the Lord in our worship of Him and start depending upon ourself and our power and our might instead of depending on the Lord, then God may withdraw His divine protection and allow us to experience what He did with the nation of Israel. When they became arrogant, they didn't look to God as their king any longer. The Bible says there was no king in that day. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You just read the book of Judges and you'll find what happens to a nation when they begin to look that way and not recognize the Lord. God strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel in Judges chapter 3 and verse number 12. And for 18 years, the Moabites put the Israelites under tax and persecution. And because of that, the people repented to God and cried out to the Lord for help, and God raised up a deliverer, a man by the name of Ehud, who made himself a two-edged dagger. and put it up under his cloak. And he went before the king and he said, I got a present for you. And the king said, put everybody out and come up here and give me my present. The Bible says he was a very fat man. You see, in an analogy, he'd gotten fat off the taxation of the people of Israel. Off taking away from them, he'd become rich and fat. And old Ehud went in there like he's going to whisper his present to him, and he stuck him in the stomach with that two-edged dagger. And the Bible said it went all the way up to the handle. And the fat enclosed around it so he couldn't pull it out. And the Bible says the dirt came out. And Israel went to war and killed 10,000 of the enemy troops. And the Bible says they had peace for 80 years as a result. What brought about that peace? What brought about that deliverance? That the people cried out to God in repentance of their sin and from turning away from the Lord and prayed to God to send them a deliverer. You see, when we do what is right, God will bless us. And when we do what is wrong, God will withdraw His hand of blessing. Thirdly and finally, in Psalm 9 and verse 7, the Bible said, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment, and He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Down in verse 17, He said, the wicked shall be turned into hail, and all the nations that forget God. America, God is eternal, not the nation and not the state. Man will give an account to God one day, including nations will give an account to God. When Christ sets up His kingdom in Matthew 25, the Bible says there'll be the judgment of nations that will take place. In verse 33 through 34, He divides those nations. He calls them the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side. The sheep are those who are believers in the Lord, and the goats are those who have rejected the Lord and do not believe in Him, and because of that, they have mistreated God's people. The evidence of being a believer is how they treat the people of God, care for God's people, visiting the sick and the imprisoned, and clothing and meeting the needs of people. The Lord said, when you do this for the least of mine, you have done it as unto me. And when you do not do it to the least of mine, you have rejected me in what you have done. Those nations will be departed into everlasting fire, verse 41 through 46 of Matthew 25 says. What of nations today that reject Christ and persecute Christianity? I want to say to you, their days are numbered. Righteous judge will come one day, sit on the throne and judge the nations as the Scripture clearly teaches. You and I need to put our trust in the Lord and not in man. We need to put our trust in the Lord and not in the nation. We need to put our trust in the Lord and not in money and not in ever-changing times. You know something? We've had some changing times recently, and it's a good reminder to us that things don't always stay the way they are with nations of men. God is the only one who's unchanging. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So let us praise God and sing praise unto Him. Let's recognize that God will not forget the cry of the humble. Verse 12 in Psalms says, when He maketh the inquisition for blood, He remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. The psalmist prayed for mercy that we might show forth all the praise in the gate. That means to go before men, to go in the place where men are, and proclaim the Lord's praise. Show forth what God hath done. The heathen sink into the pit. They reap as they sow. Their nations will be turned into hell. Friends, if you've been delivered from hell, you got something to praise God about. If you could just get a glimpse of what the Bible really says hell is, you'd rejoice and thank God that you don't have to go to that awful place. And it'll create a burden within you to help others be delivered from that also. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You and thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the faithfulness of Your people. Bless them now. Every good gift comes from You and we praise You. We thank You. Help us to focus today on giving thanks to You. In Jesus' name, amen.